Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Lake Show. Henry Lake out tonight. Dave Schwartz in. Great to be with you on this Thursday evening, November 6th. Weather's a little bit crisper. It's feeling like winter. We got the season started. The Timberwolves lost to the New York Knicks the other night, and Anthony Edwards, it was his first game back. They lost 137-114. Anthony Edwards comes back.
Season's over.
If he wasn't back, I would have said that.
I mean, season's over.
But he has 15 points. You know, it's a young season. He has 15 points, and I believe the quote I saw was he looked like he was, quote, dusting the rust off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. All I could think of in my mind was, while I didn't watch the whole game, I watched a little, and I obviously read the articles, is knowing Anthony Edwards' disdain for load management and knowing that if you don't play, you have to play a certain number of games to be up for postseason awards.
Yep.
And knowing how much he means to this offense and to the team, do we feel like maybe he was rushed back just a little bit? I mean, did he have to play against the Knicks 2 nights ago? Did he have to?
Well, I think he had to play against the Knicks.
Okay.
I think just because I feel like the Knicks and the Wolves forever are going to be intertwined because of Karl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle. And
went on the Tonight Show. Did you see that? Julius Randle's on the Tonight Show.
Julius Randle was?
Yeah, he went on and he brought Jimmy Fallon a Timberwolves jersey.
Oh.
I don't know. Why is he going on the Tonight Show? Play the game. He was clearly there because he was in New York.
They still love Julius Randle there. I mean,
he should hate New York. Sorry, go ahead.
What? No, so you'd rather him?
It's a distraction.
Oh, okay. But if it was Colbert, it'd be fine, right? Or Jimmy Kimmel. You're a Jimmy Kimmel guy. You're anti-Fallon, right? You're the other Jimmy.
I can't stay awake for any of those shows, let alone like them.
It is kind of weird that he goes, but obviously clear it with the team. All that's fine. I just feel like you hear these injury reports and it's like, okay, Anthony Edwards could be out for 2 weeks with the hamstring strain. Mm-hmm. Not great. Then he's cleared for basketball activities by the team on Monday. Starts jogging on Tuesday because he doesn't play against the Nets. Starts jogging on Tuesday. Wednesday, boom, he's active.
Back.
I'm like, wait, what? What? I mean, and you know, the hamstring, the soft tissue injuries. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have a bone or, you know, but these soft tissue injuries, like, I know he's got, you know, this ultra healing power. I don't want him to come back and all of a sudden have something because he's just way too important to this team. I was, full disclosure, I was not happy about him playing last night against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I was not happy when I saw that he's going to
play. I'm with you. And I'm curious what you all think about there. Hit us up on the WCCO talk text line 651-461-9226. Was it too early? Should he have come back against the Knicks or should they have waited when they're at the Jazz tomorrow at 7 p.m. and then I believe they are at Sacramento on Sunday?
See, I think that would have been that would have been a little bit better because the Knicks, the Nets, you've got the it's not a back-to-back. I'm just looking at the
schedule.
The Kings and the Jazz are back-to-back because you got the Jazz that are in Minneapolis tomorrow.
Yep.
And then Sunday you're in Sacramento. Monday you're in Salt Lake City. So
why not wait and let them play come back and play his first game at home.
I mean, even against the Jazz tomorrow, do you think playing on the road or at home when you're an NBA guy knocking the rust off, does that matter as much as maybe some of the other sports?
I don't know that. What bothered me is it's a hamstring injury, and I don't think that you're right, that it's not enough time. And mm-hmm. he is so integral to this team that there's no reason to rush him back. Now, I am not a doctor, nor did I play one on television, and maybe we have people who are listening who are doctors and will say, Dave, Chris, you're both idiots. It's plenty of time to come back for a hamstring injury. I this early in the season with where, and you know, the standings don't really matter.
No, they're not till now.
It doesn't matter. They're eighth in the West. Who cares?
You gotta get out of the play-in.
But the Knicks are third in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the schedule, you got the Jazz. Jazz aren't very good.
Jazz Sacramento, are terrible.
They're terrible. The Kings aren't very good. I mean, nope. Like, why not wait for a lesser opponent? I don't know. I was like, whoa, he's playing tonight?
Marquee. That's. Yeah. I just think it's Ant and Cat.
Did he want to play in New York?
That's just it. And I don't think it's necessarily about New York, because Anthony Edwards doesn't strike me as the sort of guy who's like, he's doing commercials and he's one of the faces of the league. But I just don't think that Anthony Edwards gets caught up in, I've got to play at the Garden. I've got to play at this. You don't think so?
I think he does.
Really?
I do. I truly do. I think Anthony Edwards is the kind of player and the kind of guy, and I'll compare him in this sense, competitive sense, to a Michael mm-hmm. Jordan that says, I want the ball all the time. I want it on the biggest stage, in the biggest moments. I am the guy.
Well, see, that I agree with, but yeah. I think that last night against the Knicks, I just feel it's more that it's the Knicks and it's his guy, Cat. Like, if it was, let's say it was Chicago. Let's say Cat was in Chicago, and you were playing at whatever the hell building they're playing in now. I don't know, United Center, or Wrigley Field, or Comiskey.
Either way, it's a terrible part of town.
Either way, it's a, yeah. Oh. Yeah. But if he was playing there and it's Karl Anthony Towns, I feel like it just, you want to get up against one of your buddies. Because that, I don't know, maybe
I don't
maybe it's that and not necessarily the Garden.
Who knows? I this is what I do know. Anthony Edwards, if he wants to play and the doctors say you're probably okay, he's playing.
Yeah.
There's no way that anyone is telling Ant he's not playing.
And I haven't heard any reports that he came out of that negatively. And that,
yeah.
I think it would be tomorrow, too, that would be one of those days. It's like, okay, he played. You look at the box score. Box score was, like, underwhelming.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I'm more disappointed about that game against the Lakers when no Luka, no LeBron, you blow a big lead, and you get beat at home. Like, to me, that was probably one of the worst performances of basketball that I can remember them playing.
Really?
Yeah. Even if you don't have... You know, even if you don't have Anthony Edwards, like last night, I wasn't expecting him to beat the Knicks, mm-hmm. even with Anthony Edwards. I don't know. I look at them right now and just get Anthony Edwards to a point where you're not re-aggravating, because he goes down so many times, like during a season. He's like the old, like Xavier Rhodes or Adam Thielen. He goes down, you think he's dead. You're like,
that was Xavier Rhodes, 100%.
Oh man, every time he goes down.
You know what? You know when he could get hurt every time he got beat. All of a sudden, something hurt. Every time he'd get beat on a deep route, all of a sudden Xavier Rhodes was injured.
There was no connection. You and your conspiracy theory. Media,
I am a
people.
Conspiracy theory. Yeah,
you know, like, oh, Rhodes closed. It's under construction.
Always. It's always under construction.
Ant
had 15 points on 5 of 13 shooting. Julius Randle dropped 32. DiVincenzo had 21. Karl-Anthony Towns only had 15 points and 10 rebounds for New York.
Overrated. Good thing we traded him. Get out of here, you bum.
We didn't need him. I still think that was probably the most sensible and equal trade in sports that I can remember. That where
both
all
teams
parties won.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you look at it, and the NBA is the only, well, I guess baseball does it to an extent, but I feel like because of the first apron, second apron, and all of that salary cap hoopla that nobody else had to deal with, it's like, oh, well, we got to trade Cat because we got to get under the apron, and we got the ownership deal, and you get Julius Randle. Julius Randle was the, you know, was the crown jewel of it. I was happy to get Dante DiVincenzo because they really needed some shooting. Now, whether or not he was going to be a bench guy or a starter, I felt like he was one of those things. They hadn't had that since Malik Beasley, and they needed somebody that could just like come and, you know, spot up and shoot, catch and shoot.
I think that trade was more about giving the locker room to Anthony Edwards and getting Cat out of here. Hot take.
Really?
I do.
Ooh, hot take guy.
It was very equal, and you're right, Julius Randle, they're not the same player, but statistically they are. I think this was about the organization in the locker room and them saying, this is Anthony Edwards' team, and Carl, you're going to have to accept it. Or you can go be that guy somewhere else if you want. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Carl Anthony Towns didn't make a problem of things. He wasn't a locker room issue. But I think that trade, and we're going way down a rabbit hole here, but I think that trade was about signaling to Anthony Edwards, this is your team, this is your locker room, you're going to lead this now.
But over the course of time, we saw that let me play devil's advocate
here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You got Carl Anthony Towns, who he was the guy.
He was.
And it just, I mean, we know all the nonsense that happened with Jimmy Butler, where, you know, maybe Cat wasn't that alpha, he didn't have that dog in him, as people say. But it seems like once Anthony Edwards got here and he became comfortable with it, it's like he slid into a sidekick role. You know, yes. It wasn't Batman and Robin in the sense that, you know, it was a star and a sidekick. I felt like it was kind of a 1A, 1B, but Cat seemed like he was happy deferring.
I think, yes, I think he did. And I want to say this. I think Carl Anthony Towns is a good guy and a really smart guy.
And both of it, I agree.
You know, and I remember meeting him for the first time when they drafted him out of Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah. Kentucky, yeah.
And I remember thinking, this kid's got it together. He knows how important his brand is. He knows how important his image is. And I don't think he would have ever done anything to damage that by trying to be a greater than Anthony Edwards. Because you're right. He wasn't. It was Anthony, as you said, and you're right, has that dog in him. He does. And he's got it every time.
I think people are going to always point to the Cat, Joel, Embiid thing, too. Like I feel like that's always just going to be part of it. And unfairly. Yeah. To Cat, right? Like, you could go out and be more aggressive, but if it's not in your personality and you play a different way, like, Cat's a big dude, but he doesn't play, he's not that big physical banger inside. You know, he's not a guy that's going to punch you in the face like a Charles Oakley you know, one of those, you know, Dale Davis, Antonio Davis, you know, sort of guys from the 90s that'll just bang and bang and bang and kick your ass. You know, Cat's a guy that he's got more finesse in his game, and I feel like that's kind of symbolic for who he is. Mm-hmm. And that's why I felt like Cat, to be a good leader, he needs to have somebody else that's going to be that alpha that he can kind of be. Yeah. He can be the side guy to be the, you know, he can.
And credit to him, he knew that.
Yeah.
He was okay being that. He was okay being that.
So you think that was, but Ant right now, it's his locker room. Unequivocally 100% Anthony Edwards.
I think so. Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think I'd even go further from locker room. I think it's his organization. I think he does exactly what he wants to do, and that's exactly why he played the other night. Because I guarantee there were people that told him, maybe we just hang on a second, Ant.
Yeah. He's the one guy that feels like he's got the most I want to say influence, because maybe that's a bad word. Just, you look at him, and there hasn't been a guy like him since Kevin Garnett.
No.
Very, very similar in terms of, like, the mental makeup in the, I don't want to beat you. I want to pulverize you into submission.
And I don't care if it's I don't care if it's basketball or checkers.
Yeah.
Right? I want to beat you no matter what. And he's a winner. And I know he hasn't won yet, but he's a winner. And
you can see it.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see it. He's got those. Would you say that it's fair to say that he's got, because you mentioned Jordan ahead, I see the similarities between he and Jordan. Is that cuckoo talk?
No, not at all. And I mean, I grew up being I was a Jordan fanatic, like every kid who grew up in the 90s.
Same.
Plus,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But I mean,
we want to be like Mike.
Yeah. It didn't matter if he was hurt. Didn't matter if he had the flu. It didn't matter. Did not
the
matter.
Flu?
Yeah. Yeah. Air quotes.
He had the flu.
Yeah. It didn't matter. He wanted to, and if you watched, I'm like everyone has now, The Last Dance, I mean, he wanted to destroy. It didn't matter what he was playing. He was playing cards on the plane, and he wanted to pulverize you and maybe take your money. But I see the similarity with Anthony Edwards there. I just hope that this is all past, and it probably is, injury-wise, and we get to see him fully healthy this season. We're going word on the street coming up now. I'm super excited for this, Chris. I'm super excited for word on the street. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Contrary to video, word on the street is happening, Dubs.
God.
That's a great, we're going to remember that one forever. Contrary to video.
I'm just going to text you at random times, and it's going to have absolutely no meaning. I'm going to go, hey, Dave, contrary to video. Whenever something happened, like the other night with the overtime, hey, contrary to video. Remember that if you folks are ever out there doing something nefarious, contrary to video. It ain't no lie, that ain't on my alibi. Okay. Hey, Jelly Roll. I know you're a big Jelly Roll fan.
Actually, I do like him. A couple of his songs aren't bad.
I was talking about the food, but okay.
Oh, the food.
Yeah, Jelly Roll. Okay, anyway. So Jelly Roll is calling out a Louis Vuitton store, which is your, I know, I saw your eyebrows there. Louis Vuitton store in Sydney, Australia, for allegedly profiling him. The son of a sinner, singer who is currently on his Down Under 2025 tour in Australia. It seems a little redundant, Down Under in Australia. We kind of know. He took to his Instagram on Tuesday explaining that while he and friends were at the store, employees treated them, quote, like criminals. Said, hey, man, the Louis Vuitton in Sydney legitimately just treated us like we were fitting in to rob the place. He said before laughing, I've never been looked at it more like, listen, the last time I looked at a criminal this bad, I was actually a criminal this bad. Now, according to Davidson County criminal court records, Jelly Roll's first arrest as an adult happened in 2002 when he was 18. Prosecutors formally charged him with two counts of aggravated robbery. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison and 7 years of probation. After he was released early from the Tennessee Department of Corrections, he was arrested again in 2008 for violating the Drug-Free School Zone Act. I wonder what you have to do to violate a Drug-Free School Zone Act. I got more questions about that sentence than I do the rest of it.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah, right?
I mean, pleaded guilty to a lesser charge of possession with intent to sell cocaine. Savior was sentenced to 8 years in prison, another eight probation.
Wait a sec.
Yes.
Trying to sell cocaine is a lesser charge than violating the school's anyway.
Only in Tennessee?
Yeah, well.
So if you're going to sell cocaine, do it in Tennessee.
That's, yeah.
So for those that are listening to us in Tennessee.
Go out and make some money.
We know where the line is.
Yep.
Well, since then, he's donated $250,000 to finance the construction of a recording studio within Davidson County Juvenile Detention Center in Nashville. Spoken out against the fentanyl crisis in the U.S. and has regularly visited jails to motivate inmates.
Wow. Jelly Roll being judged. I find it hard to believe with... Okay. You can't judge a book by its cover. It's not fair to judge someone who's tattooed up and down. It's not fair. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And I don't know what societal norms are like in Australia. I know what they're like here. I know that my view on those has changed over the years as they've become more mainstream. Tattoos don't mean what they used to mean. However, there are still people out there that judge you for it.
If you get facial tattoos, you kind of know that people are going to judge you.
I mean, I don't
like,
know.
I feel like people do, like, you know, even You know that people are going to look at you and they're going to be like, you know, people look at Post Malone the same way. They're
I mean, it's one thing to have, I get like you want to have a sleeve or something like that. I have lots of friends who have tattoos and family members who have tattoos. And
yeah, my wife's got tattoos.
Once it creeps up your neck and onto your face, I mean, I don't even think that looks cool. I don't, I mean,
it's
would never
like
get
back then Stranger Things where it just kind of starts coming up and
I would never get it. I wouldn't get a tattoo anyway. I hate needles. But if I was going to get one, like The Rock's tattoo, those are cool. Now, I don't look like The Rock.
I was
going to
say, I
really
put you guys side by side. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's that you should get a new prescription in your glasses.
Hold on.
But I don't see. Yeah, just keep adjusting.
There, oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my. Dwayne
when you
Johnson.
Take it off, it's even better.
Oh, Dwayne Johnson.
There I am.
I thought I was talking to Dave Schwartz. Oh, there's Dave.
There he is. Okay. Put your glasses back on. I just don't know. Yeah, I don't understand. But it is, for better or for worse, people judge. And it's not fair because he's done his time. And by the way, I actually do like his song. And I called this years ago because he was on the show Tulsa King, which is a great show if you haven't
watched
it.
Yeah, you said that you put that thing over.
Outstanding show.
You love it.
But he's on season at the end of season one or two, one of them. And I said to my wife, because he's very big there, I said, I'm telling you, in 6 months, we're going to see Jelly Roll, and he's going to be skinny as all because he's going to get whatever surgery or whatever. But it wasn't surgery, I think. I think he changed the way he was. It changed, made some lifestyle changes, so he said.
He did, and he actually was part of a WWE event that he was training for as well.
That's probably it.
And yeah, he's in fantastic shape. And I think we all like a good redemption story anyway.
And he's had his.
He seems like he's a really nice guy, all things considered. He went through it and is now paying it forward. And ultimately, that's what you want out of people.
Yeah.
Just to pay forward.
And he is. And he's shopping at Louis Vuitton, which sells... I don't even. Is it bags? They sell bags. Right?
I don't know.
I
don't make
cool
Louis Vuitton money.
Yeah, well, neither you. That makes two of us.
Yeah. He must have gone into the thug section.
Do they sell Louis Vuitton at Kohl's? Because then I might have seen it there.
Kohl's cash guy.
Yes, sir.
You're the new Kohl's cash guy right there. Hey, I just want to go down to this story. We'll wrap up with this. A nurse in Germany came up with a novel way to lighten his workload. He reportedly murdered 10 of his patients. Sounds like a freaky, freaky story that you could make a movie out of this. A nurse, name was not released. Probably would be good information, but, you know, we not us.
Innocent till proven guilty.
Well, I mean...
Contrary to video. Sorry, it's the last time I'll say it.
Oh,
tonight.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm going to mention it at least two more times in the bit. Murdered 10 of his patients. Now, the nurse... and said the name has not been released. Given a life sentence in prison on Wednesday after he was convicted of murdering all 10 patients by lethal injection and attempting to kill 27 more.
Oh, 27 more?
Those were just attempted, though.
Oh, well, okay.
Just attempted.
Just attempted, not guilty yet.
Not guilty.
Contrary to video. It just works so well.
You could put it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
During the trial, prosecutors accused the nurse of trying to cut his evening workload by giving his mostly geriatric patients doses of painkillers and sedatives in a hospital near the German city of Aachen. Now, despite his life term, by law, the nurse could be released from prison after serving a minimum of 15 years, but they say that's highly unlikely because of the severity of the crimes, according to a spokesperson for the Aachen court. The nurse can't appeal his verdict, and more German media outlets report police are investigating other suspicious incidents involving the nurse during his career. It's my question. Out of all the things, I did not hear that they revoked his license.
Here's my question. How is it that murdering 10 people and you can get out in 15 years in Germany? What do you have to do to get a life sentence there?
I mean,
careful. Tread lightly.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do we know that's ever happened in Germany with killing?
I'm just amazed that you can get 15 years and he murdered 10 people and had the idea of murdering 27 more.
Yeah. Plus suspicious activity. It's very ambiguous.
Yeah. And also that I think that would significantly increase your workload trying to kill in total 37 people.
Yeah, you're right, because the more people you kill, the more work you're going to have to do to kill those people.
And I mean, that takes some time. I don't want, you know, listen, I feel bad. Thoughts and prayers, family, and that kind of stuff. It's terrible. But it's, that's interesting. The 15 years thing is something. That's interesting to me.
Very lenient laws in Germany.
Do we have, is that it? Do we have more stories?
We're running a little heavy, so that'll be it.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Well, which one? I'll read one more.
Do one more.
Okay, which one you want? You want Miss Universe or do you want David Harbour? I'll let you choose.
Oh, I don't know. Miss Universe.
Miss Universe it is.
Yes.
Okay. It's
door number three.
Spin the wheel, make the deal. Several contestants have walked out of a Miss Universe event after an official from a host nation, Thailand, publicly berated Miss Mexico in a tense confrontation. At a pre-pageant ceremony, Miss Universe Thailand director, Nawat Isgrilali.
Nicely done.
Thank you. He told off Fatima Bash in front of, it's the first time that I've seen the words told off, in written. I've said it. I've never actually written told off, but he told off the contestant for failing to post promotional content. Now, when she objected, Mr. Nawat called security and threatened to disqualify those supporting her. Miss Bash then left the room and others joined her in solidarity. Now, contrary to video, which was live streamed, has been shared online. The Miss Universe organization, or we're going to call it MOO, has condemned Mr. Nawat's malicious behavior, for which he has since apologized. The Miss Universe contestants, who are the winners of the national pageants in their home countries, attended Tuesday's event in their sashes and gowns. Now, some can be heard shouting back at Mr. Nawat in the video.
Contrary to video.
After he raises his voice to reprimand Miss Bach, and he repeatedly tells her to stop talking. As many of them stand to show support, he says, if anyone wants to continue the contest, sit down. If you step out, the rest of the girls will continue. Now, despite this, the majority of the women in the video,
contrary to the video,
they do appear standing with several heading towards the door.
Good.
After leaving the event on Tuesday, Miss Bosch told the press the 60-year-old executive was, quote, not respectful, and he had called her dumb. Mr. Nawat has disputed this, claiming his words had been misunderstood.
Well, there's video, so, I mean, you can't, it's there.
Well, contrary.
Contrary. Good for them. Honestly, that you should not stand for poor treatment, even if, and I don't claim to know beauty culture and those kind of things, but I understand.
Well, you were in the TV world. You know all about beauty.
I am not beautiful.
You know.
But I do understand, and I do know that in those areas where, let's just say, demand is greater than supply, right? Everybody wants to be in that. There is an assumption that you can treat them whatever way you want. And you know what? You can't. And so good for them for saying, no, this is 2025. It is not 1972. You cannot treat us like this. Good for them. Good for them. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about J.J. McCarthy. Is J.J. McCarthy, has he done enough? Has he done enough to convince you that he is the greatest Vikings quarterback of all time? We'll talk about it next. What else do you need to see? Chris, what else do you need to see from J.J. McCarthy for you to believe that we should build a statue outside of U.S. Bank Stadium with J.J.'s arms in the air, hopefully holding the Lombardi Trophy? You haven't seen enough.
No, I want to see Micah Parsons laying on his back. I want
three games isn't enough.
I want J.J. McCarthy to be looking over him, truck him. I said truck, Micah Parsons. Okay, you can go back and check the podcast when I'm done.
Yes,
truck, just like trucking with the PlayStation button. But no, I think from what I saw from J.J. McCarthy, I think we saw what the floor could be. I don't know what the ceiling is, but I think we saw what the floor could be. And he looked comfortable, I think, is probably the one word that I could say. Far from perfect, but it gave you a little bit of hope to, could he be a guy? Sure, he might, but I don't know. I mean, I don't have any idea what J.J. McCarthy is yet.
The one thing that I keep going back to is when Vikings have drafted quarterbacks high, and please help me fill in my list, but it's J.J. McCarthy, and before that it was Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes.
Anyone in there? And Teddy. Before that, it was Christian Ponder?
Yes. Are we talking just first-rounders?
Yeah, like okay. First-rounders, guys that were going to be the anointed ones, so to speak.
Yes. I know Tavares Jackson was a second-rounder, but I know that
Mike... But they traded up to get him.
They traded up to get him, and Mike Zimmer really wanted him. And
Brad Childress. For Tavares Jackson.
Oh, yeah, that was a chilly guy.
Chilly was
because they brought in Favre,
and
it was supposed to be Tavares Jackson. Yeah, because 2008, Tavares threw that interception to Asante Samuel that he returned. I mean, I don't remember it, but I vaguely remember something like that happened.
It's ingrained.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Viking, I have a part of my brain that is just like Minnesota sports failures, and there's a little caveat with just all Vikings, and it is like, I don't have any more room for Viking failures, okay? Like, my brain is full.
It's going to have to grow.
It's
going to have to grow.
I'm going to have to be like Barry Bonds. I'm going to have to take some of that human growth hormone in order for more Minnesota sports failures. Before that, Ponder, and then...
I'm trying to think of before Ponder, which may have been before...
Dante.
Okay, so Dante Culpepper. So of that group...
Mm-hmm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know, and I'm going to take Dante Culpepper out of it just because I didn't get to watch him play in person I was here.
Dante.
Well, that's not true. I got to see him play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about the quarterbacks that they've taken high in the rounds, to me... J.J. McCarthy has something that the rest of them don't, and it's not just confidence, but it is confidence. But it's this mixture of talent, confidence, and call it gumption, I guess. I'm going to make this parallel, and I'm going to make some people angry. But he's got a little Brett Favre to him in a good way. I'm just talking about football.
Take away your phone.
He's got a little Brett Favre gunslinger to him in the, I see a very small window, I'm going to fit it there. And you know what? I did it. Yeah. And you may knock me down 17 times, but I'm not going to have happy feet. I'm going to stay in the pocket. Christian Ponder didn't have that. Teddy Bridgewater didn't have the patience to stay in the pocket. He was always, I think, wanted to go to the run faster.
Yeah, I think he wanted to tuck it.
And I might be more inclined to think Teddy Bridgewater would have turned into something if it weren't for his horrible injury.
Yeah, I think Teddy would have, I don't think he would have been a star, but I think he would have been a nice, solid game manager
The game manager.
System quarterback.
That's a swear word in the NFL, isn't
it? I know, right? What's game worse, system quarterback or game manager? Like, which one? Contrary to what you see on video. If you saw either one of them.
There's one. There's another one. That's one. Contrary to video. I think the worst is game manager. I think an NFL quarterback would rather be called a system quarterback because at least you're succeeding. Mm-hmm. And even though the system is allowing you to do it, the game manager thing basically means you're allowing someone else to succeed and you're just handing it off to them.
Yeah.
To me, JJ has something that those quarterbacks don't. And I'm getting excited. I'm probably getting, but the cart before the horse is what this says. But from what I've seen of him, the biggest knock to me is he, as Matt said, is he overthrows receivers sometimes. Mm-hmm. His completion percentage is 50%, 57%. I'd like to see that a little bit higher, maybe, but he's 2-1. He wins games.
Yeah, I mean, both of those are road wins within the division.
Yeah,
massive. Like I don't. I'm not going to minimize JJ McCarthy beating Detroit coming off a bye when everybody looks at the Vikings as, you know, what did Brad Childress say? It's going to be like Sherman running through the South. When they thought the Cowboys were going to come in the wild card round, and then it was 37-3.
Brad Childress,
yeah,
that guy.
Second Chili reference in a.
He was not my favorite person.
Yeah,
I was not a Childress guy. Yeah. But I will tell you, hit the year of Brad Childress, Brett Favre, Josh Freeman was one of, without a doubt,
K-State legend Josh Freeman,
who went to New York and threw the ball like 50 times.
Yes. Yeah.
That was, in terms of drama, the best NFL season I ever experienced. It was amazing.
I mean, what? When you got a kick-ass offense, you can pretty much put any quarterback in there.
That's what he said.
You know?
Kick-A offense.
Just need the right quarterback to run it.
Oh, my goodness. Good memories, good times. We're going to end off the show here in a few minutes with a pretty sad story out of the NFL. A really sad story. We'll talk about that coming up next. Final segment here of the Lake Show. Dave Schwartz in for Henry Lake tonight. It's been fun. Enjoyed it. We finished with kind of a somber story tonight, and if you haven't heard this yet, Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Kneeland was found dead of an apparent suicide after evading authorities in his vehicle, fleeing from the scene of an accident on foot. Authorities lost sight of the vehicle before locating it crashed minutes later. They said he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. We're hearing more and more of these kinds of stories. Usually, it's from players who have played years of football, many, many years. It's scary. And it's scary to think, and I'm not going to say that, you know, the word of what it is, mm-hmm. you know, everyone knows the CTE.
Term. Yeah.
I'll say like it's CTE. We don't know that he had CTE. We have no idea. I'm not saying that and not saying that to him. But when we hear these stories, that's usually what comes up. And I've talked to former NFL players because you can even do tests now, I believe, to find out if you at least have some damage. And they don't want to know. Because it's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, I can understand, though, because it's like you don't want to know inevitably what your life could be.
Yeah.
Because you'd just be thinking about it.
I mean, Junior Seau, you know, so many, there's so many names. And it's
Dave Duerson.
Yeah. It's such a sad, because I like football. I love watching. We all love watching football on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And the NFL has done their best to try to handle the concussion situation. It's always going to be there. But this is sad.
25.
He's 25 years old.
I mean, you don't know what was going on because he was running from police. Obviously, you know, there was something that was going on that led him to flee. But then he had also texted people saying goodbye. And I mean, it's just, it's no joke, man. Like, mental health is no joke.
Yep.
It really isn't.
And you have to be a real man to admit that you need help with your mental health.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad to live in a time that that's okay now, truthfully. And we don't know what caused this, there's amazing stress on these guys. There's amazing stress on these guys. You have no idea. You have one or two bad days at work as a regular employee, and you're not going to lose your job. You have one bad day as a professional athlete, it could all go away.
And you've also got the general public. People are going to be on you for every little move.
And those reporters, terrible sports reporters asking you all sorts
of
questions.
Those are the worst people.
Well, sad way to end, but I thoroughly enjoyed the evening. Chris, enjoyed it. Thank you for having me along tonight. from hey, 6 you, to you, 9. It was
you,
fun.
You were on the schedule, so, I mean, I didn't have a choice.
I was fine with it until I found out it was you coming in. I'm like, yeah. All right, whatever.
Dang, I knew I should have taken a sick day.
You should have. I'm glad you didn't. Glad to be here with you. Enjoyed this evening, and thank you all for listening. Have a fabulous night, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.